You know, in the book of 1 John, I was actually looking at this because, you know, one of the favorite verses that I have is 1 John chapter 4, verse number 8, because it concludes by saying, God is love. In fact, it says in the King James, it says, he that loveth not knoweth not God, for God is love. I love just those last three words, God is love. When you experience love in your life, that is experiencing something that is only from God. And a lot of times we look at God and we just expect the worst. We expect the least. We expect that God's going to be angry at us. We expect him to be holding that big 2x4 over our heads, ready to take a big swing at us when we fail. And we look at God and we look at God as though he is ready to pour out his wrath upon us at all times, which is totally misunderstanding. First of all, his nature and his character, which is love. I know that gets confusing when you read through the Old Testament because so many people were destroyed, but you have to take the whole thing in context and understand. You have to start from this premise. You may not always understand it, but you have to start with the premise of understanding that God is love. That's the foundation. God is love, and he does love. That doesn't mean that before Jesus Christ, you know, he wanted Jesus. The plan was for Jesus to come as soon as the first possible moment that Jesus could come. But things had to take place, and that's a topic for another morning. But God's love was to provide his son, Jesus Christ, for us from the very start. That was part of the plan. That's his love. Everything he does is motivated by his love. Even the things that we think are in the Old Testament that sound harsh, it still is evidence of his love. You can look at the person who was the most evil person in the Old Testament. It says that King Ahab's father Omri was the worst that there had been as far as kings, and that Ahab was worse than him. And yet you look at the mercy that God has. Mercy is God's withholding his judgment. Mercy is withholding what we deserve. Look at the mercy that God demonstrated year after year after year, sending people to reach King Ahab, patience after patience after patience, until Ahab's heart is just so hard against God it's never going to receive it. Then comes his end. This shows great patience. It shows great mercy. It shows the heart of God, how much he loves us. And now we see that manifested. We see that demonstrated and manifested in ways beyond our imagination through Jesus Christ. So the foundation we have to understand is that God is love. Everything he does because he's motivated by love. It's his personality. It's his nature. It's his character. He is love. When you feel in your life that sometimes you just get that over, ever felt this? I know you have. You just get that overcoming sense of love for someone. You just get that tenderness and that compassion for them, and you're drawn to them, and it just floods over you. Whether it's a spouse, it's a child, it's a parent, it's just someone that you come across that you know. But you have this almost a natural love that you can't understand. That is God in you, because God is love. That is his love that you're experiencing being expressed through you towards someone else. God is love. This is his nature. And we need to remember that this is who he is. Now, if that is a foundation, we'll go back a few verses earlier and get a little running start on that. That was in 1 John chapter 4, verse number 8. But let's go back to 1 John chapter 4. And let's start in verse number 4. I'm reading this from the Amplified Bible. It says, little children, you are God's. You belong to him. Okay, right there is a good knowledge to have. You belong to him. As a child of God, you belong to him. How many of you believe that if you belong to God, he's not going to take care of you? I mean, of course he is. If you get a pet dog, you know, I'm not comparing this to dogs, but I mean, if you have a pet dog, just for a frame of reference that we might be able to understand, an analogy. If you have a pet, your pet is a dog, you take care. He belongs to you, right? He doesn't belong to your neighbors. He doesn't belong to the dog pound. He doesn't belong to someone else. He belongs to you, correct? And because he belongs to you, you take care of him. He doesn't go shopping for his dog food. He's not the one that pays the electric bill. He's not the one that provides the house. If you provided a doghouse for him outside, he didn't build that himself. You're the one that provides because he belongs to you, and so you make provision for him. You take care of him. You meet every need that he has. He doesn't have to worry about it. You take care of all those needs. Well, you and I belong to God. And as such, he takes care of every need. And here's the great thing. He has already taken care of every need that you face today. Every need. You might stand up and say, whoa, what about this? This seems pretty extreme. No, he's taken care of it. He has. You may not have seen it manifested. You may not have realized it. You may not have possessed it yet. Because we do have to possess those promises. But he's already provided it for you. He has met every need that you have. So verse number 4, little children, you are of God. You belong to him. You're of God. And have already defeated and overcome them, the agents of the Antichrist. Before this, it was talking about, you know, testing the spirits and know the spirits. And so here it's saying that already, God has already defeated and overcome all the agents of Antichrist, because he who lives in you is greater, mightier than he was in the world. You know, that's one of those verses that we do bandy about an awful lot. You hear that spoken. But how many times do you really apply that? Think about it. Think about what it says and what it means, and apply that to your life. Because most of us live our lives being overcome and not overcoming. When somebody comes and gives you a negative report that something bad is coming in your life, when somebody comes and says, oh, you know what? It sounds like I've heard rumors that our corporation is going to disband. I've heard rumors they're going to cut. I've heard rumors that's going to come to your department. I mean, we hear things, you know, it's rumors of that, rumors of someone tells us about our health, someone tells us about our finances. You watch the news and it says the economy is going to be in shambles, and you just automatically assume that's going to affect you because you live in this economy, you live in this world. I mean, we hear things all the time, and we are overcome by those things. Most of the time, if you sit and watch the news and the news says that the economy is going to get worse in the next 6 months and not better, and I don't know, I haven't really listened to the news. I don't know if they're saying that or not. But certainly they have said that in the past. If you listen to the news and you hear them say the economy is going to get worse and things are going to get tight, guess what? The vast majority of us, if we hear that news, we're going to be overcome by that. We're overcome by that which we've heard. And we start making plans accordingly. You start stocking up on certain things. You know, if you take it too seriously and you take it too much to heart, you start getting a little bit obsessive about it. And, you know, you start building these shelters and storing up on ammo and getting lots of food and water stuffed away so you and your family can survive the worst possible scenario. I mean, sometimes we hear things and we hear things that are negative and we're overcome by those things. We don't overcome them. We've either forgotten, misunderstood, or never comprehended what our true position is. You belong to God. Look through this Bible. Everyone that's belonged to God, he's taken care of without fail. Without fail. You would be the first one if he fails to take care of you. You'd be the first one. And he's not going to fail you. You belong to him, and so he takes care of you. He takes care of your needs. He's already provided for you. So it doesn't matter what the economy says. It doesn't matter what your own bank account says. It doesn't matter what your doctor says. It doesn't matter what your place of work says. It doesn't matter, because God's got you taken care of. But we let those things that we hear overcome us, and we yield to them rather than operating like overcomers in Jesus Christ, who has overcome all those things. And this is exactly what verse number 4 is saying. He's already defeated and overcome all the things that are of this world, all the things that are of the enemy, all the things that are brought about for your destruction and your harm. He's already overcome those things. He's overcome them on your behalf. And you and I can receive that and walk in that. So he says the agents of the Antichrist he's overcome because he who lives in you is greater, mightier than he who that is in the world. We forget that. The Lord himself is living inside of you. When you gave your heart to Jesus Christ, this is not, we forget this because we don't feel it. We go by feelings because we're a very carnal people. We're a very sensual people. And I mean sensual in the sense that we only believe the things that our senses tell us. Unless we see it, unless we can touch it, lay our hands on it, unless we can hear it, taste it, smell it, unless we can perceive it with our senses, we just don't accept it. We're a very sensual people. We believe what our senses tell us, and that's it. We're limited to that. And so since we go by our senses, you can't feel I mean, sometimes you can, but on an ongoing basis, you can't just all of a sudden reach inside and feel the presence of the Holy Spirit in you. You can't all of a sudden reach inside and feel God inside of you. You just have to know that it's true. Because when you accepted Jesus Christ as your Lord and Savior, He comes to dwell in us. The Holy Spirit dwells in us. It's part of the Trinity, part of the triune nature of who God is. He is in you, dwelling inside of you. God is in you. In the same way that God used to dwell in the Old Testament, He dwelt in the temple, which could never really contain Him. But that's where He had access, and that's where man had access to Him. But as soon as Jesus came, and as soon as Jesus died on that cross, one of the first things we see that when he died on that cross, one of the first things that we see is that the veil that was separating man from God, the veil that separated that inner sanctum of the temple to the Holy of Holies, was ripped and torn in two. So nothing separates man from God. This is now through Jesus Christ, God. We have total access to God, and God dwells within us. So He that is in you is greater than he that's in the world. He that's in you is already greater than the things that the world is telling you. So when the world tells you that this negative thing, or this bad circumstance, or this bad possibility, or this is the negative projections that we have, when the world tells you those things, and even when you see those things, and even when your senses indicate the truth and the veracity of those things, we need to remember that He that is in us is greater than he that is in the world. He that is in you is greater than the things of this world. He that is in you is greater than the medical report you got. It's greater than what your checkbook says or your bank account says. It's greater than what your supervisors may be telling you at work. It's greater than what the experts are saying about the economy. He that is in you is greater than all of those other things. He that is in you is greater than the things of this world. That's what we need to know and remember. Little children, you are of God. You know, when it uses the term little children, we looked at this yesterday, the difference between being a child of God as opposed to being a son of God. We're all children of God as soon as we accept Jesus Christ as Lord and Savior. But we were looking at Romans chapter 8. And if you read verses 14 through 19, it gives you two different titles to explain this. Twice it says children of God, twice it says son of God. And when you go back to the original Greek, you can see there is a very important difference. The child of God is one who comes to know Jesus Christ as Lord and Savior. You become a child of God. You have a place. It establishes your relationship with Jesus Christ and with God the Father through Jesus Christ. It establishes the relationship. But when it says son of God, that's talking about the maturing of the child of God. You mature so that you become like Christ. You have the knowledge of Christ. You have the power. You take on the character, the nature. You have the power and the authority of Christ, and you live a life that manifests and demonstrates that power and that authority of Jesus Christ in you. This is who you are. It's your relationship. And because of who you are in Jesus Christ, because as a child of God, you are a child of God, the expectation is that we will continue to grow as children of God. We will grow into sons of God. In other words, we will grow and mature into that power. That comes when you realize, that starts when you realize what it's saying here in 1 John chapter 4, verse number 4. Little children, you are of God. He that is in you is greater than he that is in the world. We need to start operating and living our lives like this is true. Little children, this is again reminding you of what your place is. It's establishing the relationship that you have with God the Father through Jesus Christ. It establishes your place as a joint heir seated with Him. This is who you are, little children. And I love the verse in Luke. When I first got saved and I was just going through some real faith struggles, my wife shared with me in Luke, I love this verse. Because it just says, fear not, little flock. Fear not, little flock. I hear Him saying, fear not, little sheep. Fear not. Little child of mine, it's the Father's good pleasure to give you the good things. It's the Father's pleasure to give you the things. All the things that you need, the Father has provided them for you. It's His good pleasure to give you the good things in life. Because He that is in you is greater than he that's in the world. You're a child of God. You're tender. I mean, you are to Him. His heart is tender towards you. You are precious to Him. You're a child of God. This is your place and this is your position. Little children, you are God. You are of God. You belong to Him. And He has already defeated and overcome those agents of the Antichrist. In other words, He's overcome the world already. What is your difficulty today? You're a child of His and He's already overcome. Whatever your problem is, He's already overcome it. Remember and realize and speak these words. Whatever it is that's assailing against you today in this natural world, whatever is waging war against you today in this natural life, in this natural world, you can say this throughout the entire day. I'm a child of God. I belong to Him. He's already overcome the world. And He that is in me is greater than he that is in the world. And you can look at it this way. Because He's in you, and because you are a child of God growing to a son of God, you are greater because of Him in you. He working through you, and you working in that power and the authority of Jesus' name, you are greater in Him than the things of this world, and you overcome the things of this world. He that is in you is mightier, greater than the things of this world. That's your battle cry. That should be what you say over and over and over today. And then you watch as the circumstances change and they line up with that truth.